On the show today, we have Owl Cybersecurity's Mark Turnage talking about cybersecurity landscape today and how cranes can protect themselves along with the dark net. So check it out. On the show, we have Mr. Mark Turnage from Owl Cybersecurity talking about cybersecurity. So how are you, Mark?
I am very well, thank you.
Good, good. Hey, we're talking about, obviously, cybersecurity. Well, I mean, let's kind of set the table here, if we shall. What is the cybersecurity landscape look like today?
Different than it was yesterday and different than it's going to be tomorrow. It is changing more rapidly than even those of us in the industry can necessarily keep track of.
So having said that, and you're a credit union or even a bank for that matter, or anybody on planet Earth, how do you keep up? How do we remain vigilant, even especially during right now, even the holidays when so many of us are on doing our online shopping on Amazon, all that type of stuff? What do we do here?
Well, a couple of things. I think, you know, credit unions, banks, frankly, any organization, any company, any institution needs to, first of all, take cybersecurity seriously. You'd be surprised how many organizations and companies we still get engaged with who don't take it or haven't taken it seriously and generally pay the consequences. So my first advice to any company or organization is, even though it's rapidly changing, mm-hmm. even though the threat is evolving and changing and morphing by the day, take it very seriously. And that means have a dedicated staff that thinks about this, or a dedicated contractor in the case of smaller organizations that think about it. It means having plans already in place so that if something does happen, you know what to do, mm-hmm. having an incident response plan in place. Educating your staff and your executives and your management team about what why this is a risk to your organization, and continuing that education. It's not a one-day offsite session. It's an ongoing effort. And number four, looking out after your clients. You know, it can be mission terminal for you as a credit union to lose client data, lose client accounts, lose confidential information. It may or may not sink the credit union, but it may very well sink those customer relationships.
Of course. So, and the brand itself is tarnished big time. So,
and there are plenty of examples in recent years of large organizations and companies that have had their brand tarnished mm-hmm. by being hacked by cyber criminals.
Yeah. I mean, every time I walk into a Target, I'm always kind of leery. It's like, well, but I mean, I know it's fine now. Maybe, but you know, it's still there in the back of my mind, and I'm sure there's a lot of people as well.
No, and I think Target has publicly said that it hurt their brand and it hurt their business.
Yeah.
So all of those things are things that I think seem to be pretty well common sense mm-hmm, approach. Mm-hmm. You'd be shocked at how many people don't pay attention to it.
Well, I mean, talking about credit unions here, I mean, and they've done a pretty good job of staying out of the data breach news so far. But what can they do to continue to protect themselves? Because, I mean, everybody you talk to in this business is like, you know, we're barely ahead of all the fraudsters. We're barely ahead of all the cybersecurity threats and stuff like that. What mm-hmm. can they do to keep that two or three or four steps ahead?
Well, one, I have a theory, and I may be wrong.
Okay.
But my theory about why credit unions have largely stayed off the front page of the newspapers is because newspapers tend to go to a big bank or a Target,
oh, yeah.
as we discussed. Yeah. And credit unions in general, not exclusively, but in general are a little bit smaller or under the size threshold. So, you know, if they're breached, it's not as big a news item. It doesn't mm-hmm. make it on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. If I had to guess, they're probably being breached at the same rate as banks or retail or other organizations. It just doesn't rise to the top of the news cycle.
Mm-hmm.
What could they do? Be attentive and just be aware of one fact. Cyber criminals, like most criminals, go where the target is the softest. So if the top 50 banks in the country harden their defenses to a point where it takes more time for a cyber criminal to attack and penetrate those networks and mm-hmm. steal data, guess where the gaze of those cyber criminals is going to go? It's going to go towards credit unions or other financial institutions that are probably smaller, perhaps a little less sophisticated, or have invested a little bit less resource in mm-hmm. protecting their defenses. So just because you're not on the front page of the news today doesn't mean you're not going to be on the front page of the news.
Very true. Very true. And I've also heard another thing, that the cyber threats, the cyber criminals, they're going after smaller organizations now. It's more of like a volume type of business now, as opposed to going after big targets and Home Depots and things like that. They're going after the little thing. And so it adds up over time, and it doesn't make the big news like you're talking about.
Well, and the other thing, and it may or may not be relevant to credit unions, is cyber criminals are targeting smaller organizations that have technical links into large organizations. So we've seen it in the healthcare space, where a lot of data was stolen from large insurers, not because the cyber criminals hacked into the large insurers, but because they hacked into subcontractors who had a pipe into the insurer's mainframe. And they were softer targets. So they effectively went in through the side door of a subcontractor. And, you know, it's not particularly applicable to credit unions, but who knows? A sizable regional credit union may have 10 subcontractors who have access to their network. And if I'm a hacker, I can go in through one of those. So yep. That's another thing that all organizations, and credit unions in particular, have to be. Who are your vendors?
Mm-hmm.
Who has access to your system? You know, are they payments processors that are doing some credit card processing on the side? Are they other regional banks with whom you have fund balances that come back and forth? You know, think about where your exposure is, not only in terms of somebody just penetrating your own network, but coming in legit through quote unquote legitimate channels.
Yeah, because I mean, that's a big trend right now. Actually, my last couple of interviews have been about credit unions, their rising business or working with third-party vendors. And there's so many of them out there. They're growing more and more. And so credit unions really have to do their due diligence. I mean, that's really good timing that you say that. So
from a cyber criminal perspective, that's a very well-proven mode of getting in and stealing data.
Yeah, indeed. So how, and then let's take it one step further, how can they help protect their members? Not only their members' data, but is there like information that they can, trying to position credit unions as not only, you know, a transactional place to do your business and stuff, but also a financial services resource where they can get information and stuff. So what can they do in that respect?
Well, I do think that, you know, if I were a proactive CEO of a credit union, I think there are things, low-cost things that a credit union can do. Educate the customers, you know, make available to your customers educational resources about what to protect yourself. There are good resources out there. What does an individual do to protect themselves in this world of ever-evolving cyber threats? Yeah. There are good, so you can make that available to your customers. There's no question that you can do that. Secondly, you know, it's just a question of what level of services a credit union might want to afford to pay for. You can monitor. There are credit monitoring, identity monitoring bureaus out there, so that you can monitor your 50,000 customers. And if any of them are have data that shows up in places that it shouldn't be, they're notified, and there's a helping hand that's extended to them. We've been approached by a number of credit unions asking us to monitor their membership base.
Oh, awesome!
On the dark net, and the view is it's a value add
totally.
To their customers.
Totally.
You know? But I think, you know, I'd never underestimate the value of education.
Indeed.
Educate. Educate your own organization, educate your management, educate your board, educate your clients. Because that's going to, you know, I would say 50% of the breaches that we see are not malicious. They're just people leaking data,
mm-hmm.
not smart, you know, about how they're handling it.
Yeah.
So
education on any level is a darn good thing. And I want to go off on a little tangent here, Mark. You talked about the dark net. If you could briefly tell us what the heck is the dark net? It sounds so sinister and creepy and spooky. What are we talking about here?
There are parts of it that are creepy and spooky and very dark. So the dark net, the part of the internet that you and I use when we go to our Google bar and we Google in name of a restaurant, or we go make flight ticket reservations, mm-hmm. or we go to Amazon and we buy things for Christmas, that is about 2% of the entire internet. It's tiny.
My gosh.
And as vast as we think of it, of the internet being, that's about 2% of the internet. The bulk of the internet sits below the surface, and we call that the surface web. You can get there from your Google bar.
Right.
The majority of the internet is found below that, and that's called the deep web. And the deep web is your home server. I, Mark Turnage, cannot get to your home server by my Google bar because I don't have a password.
Right.
But there's a lot of data in your home server. my company servers, password protected sites, my bank's or my credit union's access login where I can go and look at my account, that's on the deep web. Nobody can get there from their Google bar just by typing in, I want Mark Turnage's bank information. It's not going to get you there.
Okay.
That's where the majority of the internet is. Probably 96% okay. of the internet is in there. It's accessible to people, but it's only accessible to certain people. And then below all of that is the darknet. And the darknet happens to be an area where we operate. The darknet was originally set up, and the biggest part of the darknet is something called the Tor network, T-O-R. Mm-hmm. And it was originally set up as a way for secure communications. And what it does is it anonymizes the users. So if I'm talking to you on the Tor network, you can't see who I am and I can't see who you are. And think about it this way. If I'm a soldier serving in Iraq and I send my wife or my husband an email and that email is intercepted, in that email is sufficient information that I can go back to the server. I know where the server is from which that email was served. Mm-hmm. Now imagine I'm a senior military officer and I'm sending my spouse an email mm-hmm. and it's intercepted by the bad guys. They can geolocate the server where that came from and send a bomb my way. So actually, the Tor network was originally funded by the U.S. government to enhance secure communication networks.
Makes sense.
What it does is it scrubs any communication, people meeting on this part of the internet. It scrubs off the data and encrypts the information such that I can't tell who you are and you can't tell who I am. And it anonymizes the users. And that is still probably half of the darknet is still used for secure communication. Political dissidents can communicate with each other and with journalists safely mm-hmm. without being caught by whatever their respective governments are.
Right.
Soldiers can communicate with each other, and that works just fine. It didn't take the criminals very long to figure out that if you can come to the darknet anonymously and I can go to the darknet anonymously and we can conduct business, there's a lot of criminal activity that can safely take place.
I get
so
it.
Criminals have colonized the darknet. And you can't, by the way, get to the darknet by your Google browser. It won't take you there. So you have to download a specific browser that's available widely, and it'll take you to the darknet. So what happens on the darknet that's illegitimate? Hacked and leaked data is stolen and bought and sold on the darknet. So if I hack a bank or I hack a credit union and I hack account information, which includes Social Security numbers, it includes maybe credit card information, I'm going to sell that on the darknet.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Think about it. I can go and put up a website on the darknet. You can arrive at that website. I don't even have to know who you are. You can pay me in Bitcoin. It's totally untraceable. And you can leave, and I get rich, and you get your data. And so that's one of the things. Also, drugs are bought and sold on the darknet. Guns are bought and sold on the darknet.
Yeah.
Pornography, all kinds of unsavory behavior mm-hmm. takes place on the darknet. Why is it relevant to organizations, and ultimately, why is it relevant to people? It's relevant to organizations because it's a primary way that stolen and hacked information is bought and sold. So if I'm a bank or I'm a credit union mm-hmm. or I'm a tech company or a retail company, use Target as an example, and I've been hacked, almost the very first I may know about it is when my data goes up for sale on the darknet.
Mm-hmm.
So your ability to have eyes and ears in the darknet is actually important to understanding where your information is and whether or not you've been breached. So we offer a service that does that, that watches the darknet on behalf of our clients. And we built a way to monitor the darknet that's quite unique because relatively comprehensive compared to how most people try and do it. Most people try and do it by putting an analyst on a screen and have them comb around the darknet, see if something from my bank or my credit union or my organization is out there today.
Mm-hmm.
We scrape it continually and then monitor it for your data specifically.
Okay. So. Goodness gracious, it's a whole new world under there. But I prefer the Happy Net, the Amazon. I like that.
By the way, so do I.
Google.
I like Google, and Google still takes me to very fascinating places that I didn't know existed. Happy to stay with Google.
Very cool. All right, Mark. Well, thank you so much. Anything else to add here? Anything we can look forward to in 2017 or
well,
is the status
I'll tell
quo?
You one trend. I'll tell you one trend that I've noticed, and it's a little bit alarming to me personally,
sure.
but it's also going to hit your members and your viewers. Nation states are increasingly hacking into individuals accounts and targeting them. So the example of that that everybody's familiar with, we just went through a presidential election. Hillary Clinton's servers were ostensibly targeted by the Russian mm-hmm. intel service. But the more, you know, here's some other recent examples. The Russian intelligence service hacked into the World Anti-Doping Association after the Olympics and released private medical records of some of the American Olympic athletes. Now, they did it to prove the point that some of these athletes were themselves on prescribed medication, and it was a way to sort of combat the perception that they're only the Russians were doping.
Yeah.
But as a result, some of our Olympic athletes who were completely innocent of anything, any transgressions, had their private data leaked out. So one of the odd things about cyber and cyber warfare is that unlike conventional warfare, where a state attacks a state, mm-hmm. it's quite easy for somebody to come into the gaze of a nation state. Now, how a credit union could come into the gaze of a nation state, who knows? You know, you can never tell. But when a nation state decides to target somebody, there's very little you can do. They have resources that are significant. And so keep an eye out for that.
It's, okay.
I mean, Hillary Clinton's email being hacked by the Russians was not the first nor the last time that a foreign government's going to target a private individual or a private organization. And it just makes it that much spookier.
Yeah, no doubt. Fascinating stuff, Mark. Fascinating stuff. Let's have you back on. This is so, I mean, I want to say it's fun to talk about, but it's really fascinating to talk about.
Happy to come back anytime.
That would be very cool. All right, Mark, thank you so much, everybody. Owl Cybersecurity's Mark Turnage. Thank you again, Mark. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
All right.